You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks summer in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hey, yeah, John was gonna come today, but
sure.
then he had a prior engagement that sort of had to reschedule, and then he couldn't make it, but yeah, John's not hating, honestly. We've not done anything to offend him. You even brought him a piece of pumpkin pie.
I did.
Yeah.
And Carl got to eat two pieces instead.
Yeah. So you made some pumpkin pie.
Yes.
Yeah.
My coworkers and I have decided we're going to spring clean our bodies with a little spring cleaning junk food detox.
Oh, okay.
And so last night was the Last Supper. And they all came over to my house and we pigged out as much as we possibly could.
Okay. So now the pumpkin, you didn't just buy pumpkins and then...
No, I bought pumpkin pie in a can.
In a can, okay.
And you just add condensed milk and eggs.
Okay, all right. And you got that from...
Hana Market.
Right,
which is the source of all your black market goods.
Well, that's not the official black market store.
No, it is actually just a grocery store,
right,
and they got all kinds of foreign stuff at like 87 times the regular price.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
There's what we call Red Door, which is this little hole in the wall black marketplace where they get all the stuff from the American military base.
Yeah, it's still got like the AFIS price tags on it.
Yeah, and that's I think, you know, about $3 for a box of Kraft Dinner.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, about three, $4.
I love it. Like four for a dollar at home.
Sure, yeah.
One for $3 here.
Yeah.
That's a bargain.
So that'll give you an idea of the prices.
Yeah.
And then there's the Hanam Market, which is very, very close to sort of, you know, the big concentration of embassies.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think that's who their core market is.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, I think, the reason for some of their really astronomical prices. Because they have, like, regular stuff there. It's not all stuff off the base, or it's not all imported stuff. It's just a grocery store.
Right, yeah. But
that charges 80,000 won for a turkey, for example.
But you found that, but they also have PX stuff in there.
Yeah, they sell AFIS brand aspirin and stuff like that.
Okay.
So.
And the crust, the pumpkin pie crust.
I made my own crust.
Right.
I was very proud of myself.
But no shortening or lard, you just use...
No, you can get it from Hanam, but...
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't use it often enough, even though it has a shelf life of till you die.
Exactly.
And pass it on to your grandchildren. I honestly would rather not put something that is so clearly just a big hunk of lard into my food.
Yeah. You know, a couple podcasts ago, we were talking about sucrets not being available. You know, I bought a bunch in Canada. But I did today. I found some. I went to there's a hotel in the downtown area near City Hall called Westin. Well, the Westin. That's an international chain.
Yeah, so the Westin Chosun?
Yeah, the Westin Chosun. In the Guinness Book of World Records for the oldest hotel in Asia or something like that.
Ooh.
They've got a plaque, so you know it has to be true. And, yeah, so I went in there and... I usually buy, like, my papers, like the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, the three foreign papers you can get. No, you can get four foreign papers. You can get USA Today. like
why?
I know. Like, why would... And it's really expensive, too. It's
it is super expensive, and it's smaller.
Yeah, forget it. And then you get the Wall Street Journal Asian edition, and that's pretty good. And then you've got the FT, Financial Times, the pink colored.
Yeah.
And that one is really good. That's published out of the UK. They've got a great column in there, Ask the Economist. You just write in bizarre letters like, you know, I love my girlfriend, should I marry her? Give me an economic theory why I should marry or not marry her, things like that. And then the International Herald Tribune, IHT, which carries a lot of your New York Times wire copy.
Well, it is a New York Times affiliate or subsidiary or something along those lines.
But that's also nice because they also have the Joongang Ilbu.
That's the one I subscribe to. But my delivery man makes me angry on a regular basis or else somebody steals part of my paper.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know.
Wow. So you get the international New York Times news, some British news, and then you also get your Korean local news. So that's not too bad. Yeah. But so I went in there to buy the newspapers, a couple of newspapers, and I looked down and they had Sucrets for sale. So I'm like, wow, who'd have thunk it, you know?
And Carl was very happy.
Or one day I was in a Woori bank, kiosk. It was Saturday, the bank was closed, but they have their ATMs. And it's right next to City Hall, right in the same building with the Canadian Embassy. Okay. And there was this poor sort of hapless American businessman in there. And he can't get his ATM card to work, And he's like, do you know where an international ATM is? And I'm like, oh, why would you have an international ATM in a major bank next to City Hall in the heart of all these international hotels?
Indeed.
Yeah, why would you have an international ATM in your kiosk? Who's going to use it?
But can Uri do, can you exchange money there? Because not every bank can do exchanges.
I bought traveler's checks. American
checks. So they do have like that dollar capability. So theoretically, they should be able to go the other way.
Well, you think they just ATM? I don't know. So sometimes when you see those kind of, this is supposed to be our uplifting show.
Yes.
So let's not dwell.
Yes.
Speaking of uplifting, I did start to watch that show, Heroes.
Did you?
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. It's
I'm trying not to get addicted to any new shows. I've got enough show addictions, and they're all crap, so, they're like crack for my eyes.
I'm enjoying Heroes. I'm on episode 11 or something like that.
What is the story of it?
They've saved the cheerleader.
They've saved?
Save the cheerleader, save the world. I don't know. X-Men, did you ever see X? Not the TV show, but the superhero movies, X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of like X-Men, where these people begin to discover they have these superpowers.
So it's kind of like the 4400, a little bit.
I never watched that one.
Okay.
But do they have superpowers?
Sort of.
Okay.
And they were abducted by aliens.
Okay, well, these people weren't... Well, we don't know this,
but
these people weren't abducted by aliens. It's kind of evolution kind of thing.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. Every week it's the story continues. So it's just not every week, heart to heart, one of our friends is murdered. Did you notice last week one of our friends was murdered too? Now that you mention it.
Our friends seem to drop off at a rate of one a week.
So I love television where they assume you've watched the episode before. And if you haven't, they assume you know ways to get it.
But it's kind of annoying when an hour-long show only has 42 minutes anyway, when they spend 3 minutes recapping the entire season up until that episode.
They do this a little bit in Heroes, actually. Did they do that in 4400?
No, but on some shows they do that.
All right.
And sometimes it'll be stuff that completely you could still enjoy the show and not know that had happened.
Okay. All right, and speaking of uplifting, our snack of the week.
Oh, I don't see how that could possibly be uplifting.
Yeah, the children call this sausagey.
Yeah, my students call it sausagey, and they love it.
Yeah.
I have my doubts, especially because it looks like string cheese with bits of yellow cheese stuck in it.
I can never get a clear explanation of what this truly is. It looks like
it's got a picture of cheese on it.
Yep, it's sausage-shaped. Okay.
Yeah.
And but it's not like a hot dog. There's no meat in this, as far as I can tell. It's like this textured.
I don't think there's anything real in it. Period.
No, you're right.
I think it is completely a concoction of chemicals, additives, and artificial flavoring.
Right.
But that's just my guess.
But this is the chija.
Yeah.
Chija. Yeah. So it just kind of looks like a
I think it's like the cheese version of Spam.
What I personally think, this is my theory, is it's like meat-flavored tofu with some cheese, processed cheese mixed
in. But see, if it was tofu, it might have a little bit of health value.
Or soy or something. Some kind.
I don't think there's anything in any way redemption, you know, any redemption at all whatsoever.
All right. I bought two. There's the chija. Well, this one's chija, too. That's Korean for cheese. FYI.
As sausage is Korean for sausage.
Correct, yeah.
Korean lesson for today. Actually, now you've got two words.
Actually, this one says chija, 2.66%. So,
wow.
Let's go with this one. I bought two, but you immediately were like, there's...
I'm not putting that in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. I will put anything in my mouth. But you were like, there is no way in hell. But your students just love these things.
My students love them. I think my students would probably do homework for the rest of their lives if I would bribe them with these... Yeah. Faux sausage cheese things.
Can you open this, Jennifer?
I may be able to. I think you ruined it.
Did I ruin it?
I think there's a tab you're supposed to pull.
All right, I'm going to take a little photo.
Of me struggling?
Sure. Well, I took some photos of the exterior, but actually I want to get a good photo of what it looks like inside the indestructive packaging that apparently it comes in here.
Yeah, well, I think maybe part of the problem is it is the same thing as the packaging.
Man.
This thing is really sincerely well wrapped, I have to say. There must be a trick to opening it. But I think there's like a pull tab that you damaged in some way.
Of course.
I got it.
I do that guy thing, opening anything, where I don't really follow the instructions to open it. I just think you have to tear at it. Oh, good, thank you. All right, hang on. All right. Wait, I don't want to get your face in because I'm going to post this on the Facebook.
Okay.
Right. All right, that's good. Good. All right, excellent. All right.
So there you go.
I'm going in.
See, I was even pretending to eat it, but, you know.
No. It is definitely a stick of
cheese whiz?
Meat and, yeah, sun-dried meat-flavored cheese whiz.
That's, you've really sold me on it.
Okay, yeah,
I'm glad you brought two.
Yeah, really? Yet another uplifting. Another reason you want to come to Korea. You can have meat-flavored cheese whiz. Sun-dried. Actually, not too bad.
I think that's what you say, like, with everything, though.
No, really, again...
The corn water drink.
Yeah. Once you get over the initial shock and horror...
Snack of the week next week? Hot dog water.
Yeah. Don't you dare bring that in, Jennifer.
Oh, my God. I saw a guy double dipping at the Odang place the other day.
Ugh.
And the thing is, they actually... First of all, you can ask for a little Dixie cup to put your own sauce in.
Okay.
Second of all, they have like a brush,
right,
so you can like dab some on, I guess, like the uneaten portion.
Right, yeah.
No, this guy fully just like sticks his whole thing in that he's just like sucked on and bitten and eaten,
right,
sticks it back in the tank of liquid.
Right, and then pulls it out again.
And kept eating it, yeah.
Yeah, double dipping is not frowned upon here.
No, we were actually, it was Friday night. My coworkers and I decided to have dinner together
on
Friday
night.
Was this
like a Pojang Matcha or something? Or?
No, it was a restaurant, but they've got like a front counter. The counter's outside.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were like looking for a place to eat, and that just put us right in the mood to go there.
Tuck into some of that. All right. And this, our main topic's actually kind of a user, listener request, user request. That would be software, but in podcasting, it's a listener request. Wanted uplifting stories. We are a little critical, I guess.
Well, but obviously, I wouldn't have been here since the dawn of time if I didn't love living here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I just, you know, every job has crap, and just part of the job in Korea is, like, the whole culture around it.
The crap, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be fun if we just sat around talking about how great everything was.
Exactly. When you open up a newspaper, what do you want to read? You want to read, like, oh, this woman fed a puppy today. No, you want to hear horror stories.
Right. You know, a woman fed poison to her puppy today.
Exactly.
And now she's going to jail.
Exactly, yeah. The two points I like to make is one, it doesn't matter where you live in the world, you just will complain endlessly about it, no, even if you love it. And two, these are the things we complain about that everybody will come here and complain about. And I hope people pick up from this podcast not to deal with it from a position of anger and bitterness, but to sort of go, okay, all right, that's kind of funny. I can deal with this and just sort of laugh and roll with the punches and enjoy it. And
yeah, there really seems to be sort of two camps here. The people like us who just sort of, we kvetch a little bit and then it's gone, you know, we kind of have a little chuckle and, you know, oh, throw your hands up, what can you do? And there's the people who like really let it eat at them until finally they walk into line somewhere and somebody cuts in front of them blatantly and they're just like, right, that's it. And they just lose their mind completely. So, you know, our way is healthier. What can I say?
I totally did that to another foreigner at Starbucks yesterday. I mean, just, you know, he's just like leaving our space. And he was taking his own sweet time trying to get into the Starbucks, you know, moving at, you know, Halmoni's speed. But I wasn't sure, and he had his cell phone. I'm like, is he standing there or is he in line? But he's left, you know, he's left enough room that I can, you know, I can crowbar my way between him and the other person in front. So I'm like, I just sort of, not even thinking, I just sort of jumped in there. Then I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah.
He might have actually been in line. But if you are going to stand like 5 feet back from the line and talk on your phone, well then, you know, too bad for you.
Exactly.
In any country.
Exactly. All right. So uplifting stories. I guess my sort of theme was fatherhood.
Okay.
You know, father movies are really big now.
That really does seem to be the theme of the year. We'll begin with The Host, I think.
Okay, right. Sure. Yeah.
Guillermo, to those of you who are actually here.
And a lot of times, sort of the stereotype of, you know, the Asian father is like this very sort of strict, emotionalist, you know, children should be seen and not heard, only bring them before me when they've been cleaned and powdered, and, you know, the sauces that have collected around their mouths have been wiped away, and, you know, those kind of things, right? And maybe, you know, previous generation, but, you know, the fathers I see out there, sort of the modern fathers, I've never seen a bigger group of like nurturing men in my entire life.
Well, to some extent. On the other hand, though, I think just as a culture, Korea is completely sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And the dads are completely overworked because, you know, most of my students are in fairly traditional homes. The
right.
mother stays at home and the dad is at work
right.
all day, all night, you know, 18 hours a day, whatever.
Right, yeah.
And so on the weekends, what do their dads do? They sleep. You know, my students, I'm like, so what'd you do with your family yesterday? And they're like, well, my dad was sleeping.
Oh, really?
And,
okay.
You know, yeah. Most of my students, if I want to freak them out, I tell them that, you know, my dad was always home by 3:30.
Wow.
In the afternoon, because he went to work really early.
I guess we should also reveal our biases, too.
That's another.
Because, you know, glasses half empty or half full kind of thing. Now, your dad...
Yeah, I come from like a very working class family. My dad was a machinist at a chemical plant, and for those of you who don't know, that's kind of like a industrial size pipe fitter, like on the job training labor kind of job.
All right.
And so he went to work at like 5:45 in the morning.
Okay.
And we didn't start work then. That's when he left home. And so he was home. He got off at 3 in the afternoon.
Okay.
So by 3:30. And he spent the day with us, you know, the afternoon with us.
All right.
You know, because that was about when we were getting home from school. And my mom was a housewife.
All right. So you're used to a father who's
very hands-on.
Hands-on.
I mean, not in a bad way.
Now, my dad was more like the 50s TV dad.
Okay.
Well, you know, he's a scientist, so.
Oh, right, right. You talked about this.
Yeah.
Not on the podcast. You talked about it to me before.
Yeah. So my dad was not, you know, very emotional guy. He loves his work, you know. He works 6-7 days a week. He's in one of those jobs where he never has to retire, like a professor.
Okay.
So, you know, I got to see maybe my dad on Sundays. and a lot of times my dad's idea of quality time was he would actually take us to work.
you know. That is quality time.
Yeah, exactly.
Be quiet in the corner while I work.
Yeah, but it was kind of fun because, I mean, my dad, scientist, and had, yeah, had a laboratory. And so he'd be like, okay, kids, I'm going to show you how to make gunpowder.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, so they take the sulfur, and you take the carbon, and, you know, those kind of things. And so, you know, showed us how to make gunpowder, and then, okay, now fill your tank models and blow them up. And and so it was, you know, it was a hell of a lot of fun when, yeah, you're, you know, when you're 10 years old, and it's, yeah, the 1970s, and computers aren't in the homes, but, yeah, you know, your dad's got a computer,
mm,
you know. But to me, the idea of a nurturing father who's there and playing with you and holding you and is like, wow, that's different. Yeah. But I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my father. He was a great father. You know, while I wasn't there emotionally, he was there intellectually, right? Okay. So, yeah, so that's sort of my bias. So,
okay.
I don't know. But yeah, I think when the father's here, they don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
But when they do have time, the current generation, I just find them very,
yeah,
like, they're always holding their kids, and not the boys, even, yeah, the girls, even the little girls, you know, they're like holding
even
them.
Even the girls.
I know, they're playing badminton with them, and another one of those signs that you've been in Korea a long time, when playing badminton without a net seems,
yeah,
like...
how else would you play it, really?
Yeah. With a net? What do you mean?
What kind of net?
So, yeah, so I don't know. So that's my uplifting thing. But how sort of really just, and you don't even see the mothers around. It's just the dad and his daughters or his son and daughter, whatever. They're just out there playing.
Well, we'll dwell on the good father instead of, you know, I don't know. Some of my students' moms, I think, have a lot of free time, and they give themselves more at every opportunity.
Yeah. Well, the moms are completely different stories.
Yeah.
I think. Remember, uplifting. Uplifting.
Uplifting, yes.
Yeah. But down in Bundang, I mean, your
yeah,
fathers are definitely professionals.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I've got quite a few doctors, lawyers, professors.
Right.
You know, all definitely white collar.
Right.
And highly educated.
And being a doctor here is not quite the money-making op it is back in
No,
America.
But most of my students' dads that are doctors,
okay,
are plastic surgeons or
yes,
dentists or other, okay, professions, other medical professions that are,
okay,
sort of on the edge of the insurance system.
Okay. All right.
Sort of like the states. If you live in states that have a lot of state medical care programs.
Okay.
Then the doctors tend to go for the high money stuff.
Sure. You know, children are always, they have their uplifting moments.
Sure.
Sure.
No, I have a great bunch of students. Some of my students are really incredibly spoiled and self-centered, but I generally don't think about them when I'm not at work.
Right.
I think about the, just some of my crazy students that I just like. The one I talked about before, that it may have sounded like I was making fun of him because he did have an injury to his head. I finally found out he is not autistic.
Oh, okay.
He had some sort of head injury. I love him. He's a great kid.
Okay.
And the fact that he, like, continues to plug along,
right,
when he clearly needs to be in a special program, you know, whatever. And one of my current favorite students, did I tell you the student that came in is like, teacher, today a lobster will die.
No.
Oh, yeah, that was his way of telling me it was his grandfather's birthday.
Oh, okay.
And so they were going to have lobster for dinner to celebrate.
Right, okay.
But we had show and tell like a week ago.
Right.
And he comes in with a robot. And he had made it.
Wow.
Yeah, he's in second grade.
Right.
And so he gives this long, detailed explanation of how he took apart a truck he had, because,
okay,
he wanted it to be a pickup truck robot.
Okay.
And then he told us how he programmed it on his computer.
Okay.
And like the whole thing he did, and we were like, and what did your parents do? And he's like, oh, they don't know how to do this.
Okay.
But he's like this, he's like 40 trapped in a second grader's body. I think.
Man.
He's like a really cool kid.
There's one girl. I talked about her before, where she sort of sketched a really good,
yeah,
picture of me. But last week, I came into class, and now, you know, you've got a lot of children who are pretty good artists, drawers.
Yeah, they,
yeah,
really take it seriously here.
Yeah. And most of the time, you know, you're, I mean, your average 11-year-old girl is drawing, like, big-eyed princess,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this time I come in and she's drawing, it's a picture of a grizzly bear that's just about to tear a fish to pieces. And this completely insane-looking man with this huge head, these wild eyes, this demonic tongue, and is hurling something at the bear, and the bear is looking back in shock and horror, and the horrifying man is saying something, well, in Korean, she writes in Korean, you know, surprise, surprise. And I'm just like, Sue, did you draw this? Yes. Like, that's amazing, Sue. So, I bought that from her. And, I sort of scanned it. I'll post it on our blog. But I've showed it to people, and people are like, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. It is that horrifying. And I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. But I don't know. So But her English is just crap. She's got the crap. She can't even read. Like, I mean, most kids can read. They don't know what the hell the words mean, you know. But they at least they can read, which is, what else? Don't be fooled by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, because like, I mean, I can read Korean no problem.
Right.
Just I don't just know what 95% of the words mean.
Indeed.
Yeah. But But I love too when like the girls have their like. Their romance comic books.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and they're reading it in the middle of class, you know, and you secretly, then you snatch it from them, and then you're like looking at this, and it's just the worst tripe in the world, you
of
know?
Course.
And then I grab it, and I like to do a dramatic reading. And so I'm like reading up the Korean, and I'm like, as if that this, I'm just really into the whole drama of the, in the comic book, and, you know, and then I kind of like, flip to the end, the last page, and I'm just like, I'm shocked, you know, by what's, how the story has turned out, and kids seem to kind of like it. Yeah. There was one girl who, like, you know, usually it's like little princesses and, you know, and Prince Charmings and stuff, and this one girl, you know, she had this really, like, racy, like, you know, the characters are in bed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they really don't seem to have any sort of rating system for the comics.
No, no.
And they have a lot of American, or I won't say American, English curse words in there, written just in Hangul.
Okay.
And so the kids learn stuff that
okay.
might provoke a punch in the face in the States with the accompanying hand gestures, because that's what the character is doing. And they have no idea what it means, but right. they know that the characters say it.
Wow.
So.
This is almost an English t-shirt fine thing, but
yeah.
Along those lines, or before, so I don't forget, I saw these little children's mirrors,
mm-hmm.
and little pictures, like pink mirrors and yellow mirrors, pictures of like a penguin or something, and then all around the penguin it says, hell, 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 hell.
That is classic.
Yeah, I'm like, all right.
That's pretty classic, Korean stationery products.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, definitely Western swear words can just float out there and not really have the same effect. No. All right. Any other uplifting stories? You know, giving your seat to the old ladies, I always find kind of. I like how touched they seem when you.
I know they seem, but it makes me sad that they seem so surprised.
Really?
You know, because at home. It would be shameful not to give your seat. And here, where they pride themselves on how much they respect their elders and everything, by and large, old people seem completely shocked when people are giving them, like, their due. Which, you know, when you're 80 years old and can't stand up straight and you're standing on the subway and someone gives you your seat, like, that's not a gesture. That's, you know, the right thing
right.
to do.
Just what you do.
Yeah. You know? It's like... Did I tell you? Oh, I told you last week of the one-legged guy who had to stand.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was
wow.
not so uplifting.
Yeah, you know, for a while I would see this like mentally retarded.
The couple.
Kid.
Oh no, the kid.
No, no,
okay.
no. I would see this mentally retarded kid, like, you know, like the Loteria I went to, used to go to before they removed it. They vanished it, and. That benevolent God that's removing all the Loterias from my daily commute. Yeah, I sort of saw him in there one day, and he just sort of sits and he talks to me.
In English or Korean?
Well, as good as English as he can manage. Okay. Which is, you know, it's always sad when, you know, a kid with like a 90 IQ actually has better English than, conversational English than your theoretically normal students. You know? Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, then I would see him sometimes on the subway and, you know, talk to him on the subway and stuff like that. That was always kind of touching. But yeah, I don't see him anymore. I don't know. Parents probably moved or something.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. You know, like you last week, this week, coming to the podcast, I saw an English t-shirt.
Did you? What
yeah,
was it?
A woman, and on her t-shirt it said, "I have scurvy."
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, throw some oranges at her or something. Yeah.
One of my students has a shirt that says, "I'm not Santa, but you can sit in my lap," and she's she's in well into adolescence, and it's something that is really inappropriate for her to wear. And she goes to international school, so theoretically she should know better. But if you've been in Korea for more than about a second and a half, you know that international schools here pretty much suck. So she did not realize that it was inappropriate for her to wear.
I was in Saturday, I went to see Spider-Man 3, and there was just this totally, it was a really crappy movie theater, and there was a coffee place, you know, like little coffee kiosk. And then it had, like, in English. You know how the English just jumps out at you here, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely was focusing on the English. And I forget what the name of the coffee place was, like, Well-Made Coffee. And I took a picture. And then it had, like, you know, those little things, like, Established.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it said, Established 2006.
Yeah.
So, you know, wow, that was one storied year they had, you know?
My favorite one ever was Since August.
Since August. Established August. Like, wow. I don't know.
Staying power.
I think maybe, you know, established. At least 5 years before. At least 5 years before.
The word established,
I'm still at that point where I'll see things like, you know, Established 1976, and I'm just like, so?
But it's Korea, so that's like, you know, it might as well be 1776 in Korean time.
That's true. That's
you know,
true.
Businesses true. Here, most of them don't even last the 6 months of the lease.
Uh-huh. So. All right. This one is our real Englishy topic is weird little things around you. Not things that really bug you, just weird little things. And mine is the they have blind person crossing buttons. Like if you're at a light.
Yeah, it'll make a beeping sound.
Yeah, and you're blind and you need to know the light has changed, there's a button, right?
Rather than they just have it beep all the time.
Yeah, they're doing that now. You know.
Okay. Yeah. It's a little whistle, actually.
Yeah.
You're right.
But there's still many of these buttons around. And for the longest time, I thought it was just like, you know, one of those crosswalk buttons. You press it, speeds up the damn light or something like that. But then you press it and then it starts talking to you in Korean. And then it sort of goes silent for a bit. And when the light changes, it starts talking to you again. And, which, you know, to the Koreans, they must just think, what is this idiot doing?
Yeah, right.
But,
he can obviously see. Yeah. He pushed the button.
Yeah. But what I think weird about that is A, they're not everywhere. And
no.
B, they're no standard location.
No, they're anywhere at all on some random post.
Yeah, some flat surface they can bolt the things to.
Yeah. And what, maybe 1 in 10 or 1 in 20?
Yeah.
Crossings have them.
So if you're blind, how do you know where to find it? I don't know. Weird little thing.
Yes.
You have a weird little thing?
Not as weird as the thing that you have to find the button that is in no given location. No. Other Braille things do sort of make me laugh, like the ones in the ATM. Like, you have to actually get into the ATM and up to the machine And then if you can get that far, then each of the locations, like the, here, your card goes here, here's the buttons.
Okay.
That's you, they have a little bit of Braille there. But you have to actually you have to get your way to the machine and actually find the place to stick in the card.
Okay.
And then you can confirm, yes, my card goes here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, my the other weird little thing is, you know, elevators?
Yeah.
They
are weird.
Yeah. A lot of elevators, you push the floor button, mm-hmm. you can push it again mm-hmm. to delete it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is sort of weird.
Well, I think that's actually a good idea, because some people, like me, sometimes push the wrong button.
That's true.
Because I get sort of in, you know, that sort of sleepwalking state where I just automatically do stuff, and if I'm not going to the floor that my apartment is located, because that's usually okay. the only elevator I take,
well.
Then I'll accidentally push the wrong button.
And the when you go to, like, Starbucks, but other places, too, they have the drinking water envelope. They don't have
yes.
they don't have a cup.
My school has those too.
Yeah. They don't have a cup. It's like a little envelope
yep.
that you kind of open and then pour just, you know, not even
a tablespoon
yeah,
of water
yeah,
if
basically.
You're lucky.
Yeah. Just a little bit of water.
And you can't refill it cuz it dissolves on touching water.
Yeah. And I find most of my kids just they, you know, they take them by the dozen
yeah.
and then they blow them full of air and then they wrap them up and then, yeah. you know, bam.
Yeah.
You know, they pop them. I'm endlessly seizing those from the kids. So I'm like,
yeah.
is this English? Is this English? That's
yeah.
that's how we make them understand. I don't know. I took a little drinking cup. What I was impressed is, you know, where I live, you know, the by the subway stations where the people lock up their bikes, they actually have air pumps there, so you can
oh.
say, hey, you can pump up your tires.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. The which I think almost any place in North America, if you installed an air pump, someone would just come along and cut the hose.
Oh, really?
Just
not where I live, because gas stations all have those for free.
Yeah, 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 but I'm just if it's unattended.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I see.
I just think someone would come
someone
along.
Someone just be a jerk and...
Yeah, someone yeah. just vandalize it just for no reason.
Yeah.
I remember I used to work at a gas station, and we
yeah.
would have to remove the hose.
Oh,
when
my
we,
God.
Yeah, like at night. Not even like when we close the gas station down, just at night when you can't see the hose. We have to remove...
That's sad.
Yeah, we have to remove the hose because people will... I don't know what they do with the hose, but they
would... They just want to cut it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
So. See, stuff like that makes me think, why is it that I want to move back to the States?
The other thing I love, too, are, like, the posters. They put up posters here for shows.
Yeah.
And they just, they use a little bit of tape.
Yeah.
They don't kind of just, like, glue the whole back and then
no.
slap it on.
Like, in home, they have to sort of wallpaper it on.
Yeah.
No, here it's just, you know, as little tape as they could possibly
yeah.
use.
So that's sort of great. If I like to do that when I'm going back to Canada. I like to grab some weird little show posters and then kind of, you know, bring them back to my friends.
I had one
like
for
that.
The longest time. Do you know who Sarah Chong is?
Yes, Sarah Chong, the violinist.
Yes. When I was in Chengdu,
There's two. There's,
oh, really?
There's Hannah Chong and Sarah Chong.
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah.
She was coming, I think it might have been her first
okay.
Tour of Korea.
Okay.
And the poster I had advertised her rectal tour.
Oh, great.
I felt really bad for her because she was, you know, American, so
yeah,
she knows what it means.
She knows.
And she was a teenager, so I felt like that'd be like, you know, when you're an adolescent, just things strike
yeah.
you as far more humiliating and embarrassing than they really are.
Wow.
You know, I just thought that was... I kept that for forever.
Oh, geez.
And then some, I think it just bit the dust, finally. So that can be an English t-shirt, too.
All right.
Her rectal tour.
Another little thing is, you know, like sale. When there's a sale and they list, you know, the percentages off.
Yeah, they
list,
do it backwards.
Yeah, they do it backwards. Like from 60 to 20% off, not
yeah.
20 to 60.
Well, I guess then because the first thing you see is the big one.
Sure.
I mean, it does make sense. It's just backwards.
Sure. I don't know. But who are you really fooling?
Right. Well, I mean, how popular is 99 cents in America? $59.99.
Right, yes, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a deal.
Yeah.
It's not $60.
Here they kind of... Well, there's tax, but the tax is all built in. So,
yeah.
So they always have the prices rounded up so
yeah.
they don't make... have to fiddle a lot with the 10 won coins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which they should just get rid of. And I think that they should get rid of pennies in the States, too. Because I think both of them are just sort of a waste of taxpayers' money.
Oh, for sure.
Australia got rid of pennies a long time ago, and they have had no ill effects, as far as I know.
Nobody died.
Yeah. I mean, things can still be priced in the pennies, and it's just rounded up or down.
Right.
As appropriate, as mathematically accurate.
Right.
At the till, you know. No problem. Save bazillions of dollars. Because really, do you use 10-1 coins? Do you use them, or do you have, as I do, can after can of them stuffed to the spilling over point somewhere in your apartment?
What I do is I save them, and then usually I use a T-Money card for the subway, but what I do is when I got a lot of change, then I just put it in the little ticket machine and buy a ticket.
God.
So, yeah. So, but it's actually, the machine has a timeout.
Yeah, and putting in that many 10-1 coins
yeah.
would definitely time you out. So yeah. people want like 90 just for a regular ride?
No. I put in like basically, you only literally have time if your ride is like 1,000 won to put in 10-1 coins, so 100, and then 900 won coins. Anything more, and then it will time out. And then it just spits all your coins
yeah.
back at you. Yeah.
Ugh. Now, I will say at this point that I am just purely lazy because in Korea, you can just take back to the bank a bowling bag full of change and they will count it and roll it.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, some banks, they give you, there's little lunch bags at the counters. Have you noticed that?
No.
Yeah, you got.
Oh, yeah, that's
you get the
when
little,
you have a lot of money.
Yeah, you get these little lunch sacks. And, if it's for money, like, give your 100, your 10 manwon bills.
Yeah.
You know, and you're taking.
Yeah, when I used to get paid in cash, I would get one of those little lunch bags of pay.
Yeah, you can give you a little discreet baggie that you can throw it in. I remember one time I was with a friend.
As discreet as something with bank written all over it can be.
This was Citibank. I think it was just like a brown plastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And Citibank, which is kind of a pronounced funny in Korea.
Sorry, I just had to think about how it would be pronounced.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. So,
I'm surprised they didn't change their name for Korea.
No, they didn't. Well, they added the double S to make it not she. She. The kind of.
But it's still going to sound like. So just speed this up in your mind. Shiti Bank.
You gotta be very careful how you say that.
Yeah.
So, but I was at Citibank taking out some money with my friend. I noticed all these great bags there, you know, and I'm like, wow, this is great. And she's like, well, why? I'm like, well, she has a little boy. I'm like, you know what I would do? I would get like a bunch of those, and when I have like a birthday party for my boy, I would take all those bags and then use them as little treat bags.
Yeah.
And she's like looking at me like,
why would you give treats?
Where do you come from? Like, why would you go and take bags from the bank? And
because you can't buy brown paper lunch bags in Korea.
That's actually true. Yeah, I was looking for some.
They don't sell them.
Yeah, because I bought popcorn. You know. Mm-hmm.
I have found actual big bags of popcorn that do not come in microwave bags.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and
pretty exciting.
You can microwave that. Those, you know, but a lot. Usually, you put it in like a little brown paper sack, and then you know, throw it in the microwave, and then
make your own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it.
That's a good way to microwave just your normal popcorn, not your.
Well, how do you seal the bag then? You can't staple it.
Oh no, you fold it over a few times.
Okay.
Yeah. So. So we have a microwave at work, and I found that popcorn for sale. And then I'm like, oh, the women at work, they would love that, you know? Because well, how many calories are in popcorn? Wait, I mean, not when you're...
Zero,
yeah,
except
when you're slathering
then you cover it
yeah.
like the microwave popcorn has, you know, 2 sticks of butter in it.
Yeah, exactly. But they're Korean, so they're not really used to eating the popcorn with butter, right? So, I bought them the popcorn, and then I'm like, looking for brown plastic bags, can't find any, so I'm... Then I'm like, I found like a sort of a bowl with like a plastic top with like a little thing you can sort of open up to let some air out. And
Some sort of microwave steamer thing?
Yeah, I think so, okay. Yeah. But you can just sort of put the popcorn kernels at the bottom of the sort of the ceramic bowl and then pop it up in there, and it works, yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah, so I had my friend sort of translate instructions because I'm sure they had no idea how to make microwave popcorn.
Yeah.
So, taped it to the bag. You know? So, yeah. So they seemed excited about that.
Yeah.
But when I went to Canada, I brought back some of the powder, the butter-flavored powder. You can put on the popcorn. So, yeah. Any other weird little things?
Actually, there was a new ad on TV last night, but I had friends over, so I couldn't, write it down without seeming really weird.
All right.
But it made me think of Car Love S Oil. It was that kind of English.
All right.
It was, I think it said, I am, and some complete non sequitur.
Okay.
But I don't remember what it is now, so it's kind of anticlimactic.
Have you seen that new Sunkist commercial?
I don't know. How does it go?
There's this guy in it, and he's, dancing around. He's got kind of blonde, reddish blonde.
Wait, is it the Chamong aid and the lemonade guy doing the faux Bollywood disco thing?
Yeah, they're doing a little Bollywood
parody. I will never buy another one of their products again to punish them for that ad. That is the level of hatred I have for that commercial. And I love grapefruit drinks.
Yeah, but what I love about it is that the guy, one of the guys, is the spitting image of a young Shirley MacLaine. You know, separated at birth. I will post the photos. I've got the photos of the guy, and I've got a photo of Shirley MacLaine, who looks exactly like him.
Well, what I like is they have a pink drink and a yellow drink,
okay.
And they have a pink guy and a yellow guy.
Oh, was that the deal? Was that the deal?
Okay. I think that's what it is. But okay. It seems to be also be like a little cereal, because they had a previous commercial where the one who does the second part of the commercial...
Yeah, the yellow guy.
The yellow guy. He beat the pink guy to the affection of the woman.
Right, yeah.
And once again, in this one, it seems to be ending with the woman choosing the lemonade over the Chamong aid.
Is that what's going on in that commercial?
I think so.
Okay.
But it's like the most horrible... they saw one Bollywood song, and I think they really thought they understood the whole heart of it.
Right. So Rain, I guess, is going to have to start... remaking himself, going from instead of the American hip hop, he's gonna maybe get into the Bollywood now.
Maybe so.
Man, did you see Rain won number one for Time Magazine's
Interesting People of the Year
reader poll? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well yeah. And the Interesting People of the Year, he was just in the top 100 somewhere.
What was he? Okay, but yeah. the actual online poll, he I think Stephen Colbert was number two.
I just kind of wonder if there had to be some ballot stuffing there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that was the funny thing. It's Stephen Colbert was had a 76 rating, and I think Rain had a 79. But then Rain had half a million votes, and Stephen Colbert had 250,000 votes. And Rain just edged out Stephen Colbert, even though he had double his, his. So yeah, there was definitely a lot of people giving Rain one, people giving him 100. So yeah. But did you see the video of Stephen Colbert where he did a little thing about Rain?
No.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to post a link to that.
Oh, please do.
It's up on the Comedy Central site. It's really funny. And it's not even it's not insulting. There's not a single mention about eating dog, which I thought was cruel. He just sort of was like, okay, I'm gonna get into Korean hip hop now. And so Stephen Colbert sort of singing kind of Korean hip hop.
Oh my god, yeah, that's too funny.
Yeah, and then
is Korean hip hop becoming popular in the States?
I don't think so, but major in the Asian community.
Okay.
But my ex girlfriend, she's on MSN, and every day I see her sort of pop up on MSN, and it was for a couple weeks. It was Rain is coming to Toronto. And she works for a PR company, and they were booking Rain, and so 2 weeks, Rain is coming to Toronto, Rain is coming to Toronto, and then last week it was Rain is not coming, F you, Rain.
So you think he'd have to go to Toronto?
I don't know.
He's been to Madison Square Garden. He's been to L.A.
Well,
Toronto is the third place he's got to go outside of Asia.
Well, I messaged my ex, and I'm like, oh, what happened to Rain? And she's like, oh, I guess he doesn't like the Molson Amphitheater. Now he's like prince or something. He's like, you cannot have llamas, then I will not come.
So yeah. Like, he thinks he's such a big star, like on the international scheme of things.
Exactly.
That,
but he's like,
okay, your international, you know, capital city stadium is not good enough for me.
Yeah. Well, there's Molson Amphitheater. It's modern. It's new. It's like on the lake. It's a beautiful venue. It's scenic. I don't know what he could not like about it, but...
Would he have to actually sing himself?
Oh, yeah, maybe there wasn't, like... What do you mean we cannot plug in computers?
What do you mean live musicians have to play? Singers have to sing? Yeah, Come on.
Yeah, maybe there was something, he discovered in Canadian law. Oh. I don't know. Let's start that nasty.
The anti-Milli Vanilli legislation they had.
Yeah. But the Stephen Colbert music video, him singing, it was actually quite not offensive. And from what I've heard, people weren't really offended by
wow, then it must have really been mild, because all know how much Jay Leno is loathed and despised in Korea.
It was no sort of a Apollo Anton Ono moment kind of thing. I think Koreans are sort of... They were kind of like, they were actually Canadian in the response, where, you know, when they make fun of Canada on The Simpsons or South Park, Canadians are like, they're making fun of us. That's, wow, we made South Park. We're just so happy to be made fun of, you know, on like
a
cool show. Exactly. Like, it's like, you know, like, they called us boring. We are boring, I know, but it's funny because, you know, Homer's calling us boring. That's great. We love that. So, yeah, so it's actually kind of it was nice to sort of see that attitude being replicated other places.
Like in South Park, the movie, where they had the song about Canada, it's not even a real country anyway.
Yeah. Blame Canada. Canada. Yeah.
You know, yeah, like you didn't hear Canadians like, we will never travel to the States again.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. I think I might have told this story before. I was living in Seattle, and my friend Roz at work, she's like Mexican, and then she sort of came in the day after Oscars, and she's like, Carl, I felt so bad for you. I'm like, what? You know, like what we, I know we lost the animation award. I was really upset, you know. She's like, no, the Blame Canada. Weren't you offended by that? Like all these women in Mountie uniforms, and like if it was like Blame Mexico and they had all these stereotypes, like guys in bandoliers, like arriba, and they're like, you know, like, oh, I would have been so offended. And I'm like, oh, I never thought of it that way. I was just kind of like, oh, that's kind of funny. They called Anne-Marie a bitch. Like, wow, who would do that? That's edgy. And she's just sort of looking at me like, oh, I don't know.
Crazy Canadians.
Yeah. I think we've lost that, though. I in Korea, I don't think you got that attitude from the Canadians. I think here it's like, you know, like, they will punch you in the face if you make fun of Canada. Yeah. All right.
In Korean news.
In the news, we've got three news items. First one, actually right here on the front page.
Oh, it's today's paper, or yesterday's.
Yeah. This is like right out of a Korean gangster movie. This is so cool. There's this guy, he's the head of, I think it's Hanwha.
Yeah.
Hanwha. Group. I don't even know what they do. I think there may be like...
It's like a table.
Yeah, like Paik Industries from Lost or something. They're,
yeah.
I don't know, them and the Hanso Foundation, they're working together on something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, so this Hanwha group, the chairman has been arrested. And the guy... Well, we're looking at the picture on the front page, but you don't see the back of his head. Have you seen the back of the guy's head?
No, is he bald?
No. Well, he's like the Korean Jack Nicholson. He's got like a ponytail.
No way.
I kid you not. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like the guy should be like courtside at the Lakers game or something, you know, with sunglasses on. That would be so cool. But
I love that he's being escorted by police officers. They're wearing suits like they're Miami Vice.
Yeah,
he's
that's
not
true.
In handcuffs. And I will give him credit. He is not trying to hide his face in any way.
That's true, too, yeah.
Because he's Jack Nicholson. He's too cool.
I know, too cool. But, so anyway, so he's the head of this chaebol. Again, I don't know what they do. They make ice cream and main battle tanks. That's what they probably do.
And crack.
Yeah. And yeah. And so his he's been arrested because his second son, not his firstborn, but his secondborn son, which has got to be a difficult position because, you know...
It's always the second child.
If you were like the fifth child, well, no problem. But just missing it by one, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like getting the silver medal for, you know, the 100 meter... You know, sprint in the Olympics or something. No one gives a crap about you, you know.
And but it's easier to get a wife in Korea.
Well, that's true too. And well, yeah, that's another topic we could talk about. But yeah. So anyway, so the second son was at some pub or bar or norebang or something.
Yeah.
And something happened, and he got his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was more to it than that.
I don't know.
But I've forgotten now. Yeah. It wasn't interesting enough to me.
All right,
to
yeah.
So someone, the details.
Some employee of the bar kicked his ass, like the bouncer or something. And, you know, and he was kind of like, do you know who my father is?
Well, you will find out.
Yes. So the son sort of goes back to the dad and, you know,
Daddy! They kicked my ass!
I got my ass kicked. So the dad goes back. The dad... With his head of security.
Yeah, a.k.a. henchman.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just him and one other guy. It was a couple of guys.
Yeah, it was a big group of them.
They posse.
Yeah, they went back. And Joe Poke. Joe Poke. Gangsters. Korean word for gangsters. Joe Poke. And call your kids that sometime. You are Joe Poke. And so they go back to the bar. And I guess the guy who did the ass kicking wasn't even there. So they just rounded up everybody there.
I love it.
And they're like, get into the vans. We just want to talk to you. And then they took them up to a mountaintop and then kind of lined them all up. And, you know, which one of you kicked my son's ass? And none of them were talking. And so I guess there was maybe a little bit of light violence. And then eventually...
Shall we say?
Yeah, eventually they sort of concluded...
some light kidnapping followed by some light violence.
Eventually, they sort of concluded. This is pure game theory. You know, like that, you know, that guy from A Beautiful Mind. You know, he would get another Nobel Prize. You know, working out the math on this game theory. But they eventually decided one of us has to confess. Or we have to,
right.
Even though the guy who really did the ass kicking wasn't there. So they nominated one of the guys.
Someone to take one for the team.
Yeah, as the ass kicker. I don't know if that guy actually volunteered himself or it was just everybody else decided.
No, we hate that guy.
The guy who's the Wang Da. The guy who's always late for his shifts. He's the one.
Right.
So yeah. So make sure you get those spots out of the glasses when you're washing them because, you know, you may be nominated for this. So, yeah. So so they nominated him, and then he gets duffed up really badly. No actual killing.
No.
Yeah. No one wound up in a lime-filled ditch or anything. But, so, I don't know if they drove him back, but...
It'd be funny if they didn't.
Yeah. So, then something... All right, so fine. And then... But then the next... day, you know, I guess the son's like, no, Dad, you didn't get the real guy. So they went back again. And again, they found the real guy and they roughed him up. And so by now they're like, kind of like, this might be a regular event. You know?
You have to applaud the guy's stick-to-itiveness, though.
Yeah. Well, if there's one thing you can say about this culture, this is very true. They'll stick to it until the job is done. And so they decide, well, let's call the police, hey? So they called the police, and now the guy's being arrested, and his son was like a student at Yale, and he can't go back to Yale, you know, until the whole trial is over, and it's just...
Yale might actually not want him back.
Well, yeah, maybe not, I don't know.
They might have some sort of ethics clause.
Well, you know, there's suddenly the... Hanwha School of Medicine, maybe, and they'll get him back. I don't know.
Yeah.
So here.
So this sort of brings us back full circle to the good Korean fathers.
That's actually an interesting point. Yes, yes.
So. Really involved in their sons' lives.
Yeah. So the fathers will go to the.
They'll go to bat for you.
Yeah. So that's kind of quite an interesting little, dirty little story. That's kind of fun to follow. But it just seems so. like something out of a movie. It's kind of cool.
Really, it seems exactly like something out of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, he saw a movie and was like, hey, I could do that. And he did.
Yeah. The other, and this one's a sad story. And again, it's kind of like, you know, along those lines of why enforce this law in Korea, not that law, you know, like...
Why can you drive on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Or why can you just openly sell pirated DVDs anywhere?
Exactly, but yeah, but then, I don't know, you... No, the porn sites now, right?
The porn sites are... But see, because someone was a complete moron, they posted on Yahoo Korea's main page...
Right, yeah.
I guess like a YouTube-type... thing. It was a clip of porn, and it was right there, and it's up there for several hours before anybody bothered to notice and take it down.
Yeah.
So now, yeah, like every porn site is the devil.
Yeah. But if you're on the subway, and you don't see it that often, but once in a while, some really old person comes along, collects all the newspaper.
I see them all the time because I live at the end of the line.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They go through every car between runs. Yeah.
So they collect all the newspaper, and. They're not employees of the subway system, but they just collect it.
They get the recycling money.
Sell to recycling, and I mean it's pennies what they get.
Yeah, it's like cans.
Yeah.
You know.
So for some reason, this has been deemed a bother, and they have banned these people from the subway, like these 80-year-old men and women.
Yeah,
who
they're all. I think you have to be 112 to even think about doing this.
Yeah. So these people who are, you know, cleaning the subways for free are being banned. Where, I guess, people complain.
I wonder if it was the guy that made the one-legged guy stand up. I wonder if he was like, I don't like the way the old man with the trolley full of paper takes up more space than I get to take up.
Maybe, yeah. But it's like, well, why are they banning them and not the people who are, like, selling the crap on the subway?
Right. Those people are so freaking annoying. The ones with the microphones?
Yeah.
I just want to throw the microphone out the window.
Yeah. Seems to me that they're not cleaning.
Yeah.
They're not doing a service. They're taking up space. They're inconveniencing you. Especially when they block exits.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing.
You will not get off the subway unless you buy my Chonon piece of crap product.
Yeah. So, but now the subway has banned them, and they're like, oh, geez, our subway cars are getting really dirty with all these newspapers.
What do you know?
Yeah, well, we don't have the budget to clean them, so what are we going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, if you've ever seen them, they have a cart. It's sort of a grocery cart size, but it starts at the floor. Basically,
right.
It's just like a grand dolly, basically.
Right.
And it's really tall, like as tall as me.
All right.
And filled to the brim with papers.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, the faux bungee cord, like faux raffia, faux bungee cord,
right.
Like tying off stuff that they use here.
Okay.
That I'm sure has a name, but IB's an English teacher and I don't know it. And the thing will literally be stacked as high as they can stack it before it would just, like, cause an avalanche.
Yeah, fall over.
And the person with it is usually, you know, push at 150.
Yeah.
Maybe like 80 pounds. I think that's like the maximum weight they're allowed to carry.
Right.
And, you know, they've got this thing in newspapers. It probably weighs 5 times what they weigh. And obviously that's all been collected in a relatively short period of time. You know, whatever. Because... if you get on the subway before about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, you practically get shoved a free newspaper in your hand as you walk by.
Right, yeah.
They're really aggressive about the giving away the free papers because there's so many brands of them.
Yeah.
And people read them and just toss them. And people bring their newspapers with them and toss them.
Right, yeah. So I don't know. So that just seemed kind of rather bizarre.
Right. Like, come on.
They're a little
There's
bit
no Social Security in this country.
Yeah.
Old people that don't have good kids need a way to, you know, survive.
Yeah. But I have no idea why would people be complaining about them? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like complaint. You're standing on the platform waiting for the subway to come, and the old Ajumma is mopping the platform. You know, you would complain about that? I don't know. It's bizarre. But the
they didn't get rid of the vendors. That's what kills me.
But the interesting undercurrent is, oh, they actually do complain about things, because you begin to suspect people never complain about anything.
They just don't complain about normal stuff, like the neighbor who's like shouting in the hallway at 3 in the morning, you know, the person who leaves their car alarm on at, you know, glass breaking volumes for 30 minutes or whatever, you know.
And the final item that sort of caught my eye was a headline. Academicism blamed for poor English of Koreans.
I think creating words in the newspaper is a cause of poor English of Koreans.
And that sort of jumped out at me because, you know, it's like every 3 months somebody sort of comes out and proclaims this is the reason Koreans are so bad at English.
I remember when it was the thing under your tongue.
Yes, right. The little...
The little flap of skin that connects your tongue to your mouth.
Flap of skin, yeah. The masticular flagellum.
Sure.
Let's call it that.
They were getting it cut.
Yes. And, apparently that will help with your R's.
Yeah, that's what they said. Now, I will say, my brother actually had to have that cut when he was a kid. He couldn't talk until he was 3. And he had to have a cut because it grew so close to the end of his tongue that he couldn't move his tongue properly to form letters.
Wow.
If you are capable of speaking, that is not the cause of your pronunciation problems. He actually could not talk.
And I guess the sort of the long and the short of the article is that the... just that the professors are just sort of teaching a very academic English, not concentrating on speaking and
Oh, duh. Have you ever heard most of those professors speak?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, it's painful.
One of my friends, Doug, actually, he was on this podcast many moons ago, and one of his students, she's actually an English professor at a university, and but... her English is horrible, you know, but she somehow has fooled the administration into believing her English is good. So they gave her like a contract, like some American corporation wants to sign a contract with the Korean university to do something, and they wrote it up in Korean and then they gave it to her to translate into English, and then she sort of comes and gives it to Doug and like, can you edit this? You know, and it's like, you know, 20 pages of legalese.
Oh, God.
You know, and all, you know, could you imagine Korean legalese then translated into English poorly?
Oh, my God.
I know. And Doug's just sort of like, you know, his out is like, well, I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand most of this. And she's like, but I'll get fired.
Right.
Just so sad.
So it's your problem now because you need to feel bad for me that I've sort of fraudulently been having this position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been at some events where professors would make speeches.
All right.
And the level of English was somewhat below like my worst students.
All right.
You know, like, how on earth are you a professor? I'm not a professor of Korean. But my Korean's about on par with your English.
Yeah.
Does not compute.
Well, that's what Doug found at his school. There's one of the Korean teachers, you know, English. He's always like griping about, like, we don't need foreigners to, we can teach them ourselves. But Doug speaks pretty good Korean. So when Doug talks to this guy, he has to speak Korean to him.
Right.
That's the only way they can communicate, because he can't actually speak English. You know?
But he can read any book.
Yeah. So,
he could, diagram every sentence in that book for you.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, it just sort of disturbed me that...
Yeah.
But, I mean, why people can't... You know, why is English so terrible? Well, it's because they're trying to study a billion things, and you know,
there's no focus, and people always want the shortcut, and they'll change on a dime if they think there's a new better shortcut.
Sure, yeah,
you know,
but I just you know, when you're studying, you know, from 7 a.m. till midnight,
yeah,
and that's all you're doing, of course you're not gonna learn English very well.
No.
And it's just another little subject in the whole realm of subjects, you know.
Brains do not function at maximum performance when they have to go from like 3 in the morning until 2 the next morning every day.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh my God, I had a student on the subject. I had a student Friday. We have writing class on Friday.
Okay.
And I start with 5 minutes of free writing.
Okay.
Just to sort of get them in the flow of writing in English, thinking in English.
Right.
And it's not graded. I don't correct it. I don't collect it. Whatever,
right.
You know. But I usually do look them over because the students will sometimes tell me funny little things that they wouldn't say in class, you know. And this one kid, his whole thing was about how English is hard, and he wishes he could learn English, but he doesn't like to study, and he doesn't like to do hard things.
Okay.
And he wrote English about 25 times in the one paragraph that he wrote. So it was like 10 lines of writing, and he said English about twice on every line, and it was English every single time.
Really?
It's like, wow. Case in point.
I was asking my students about, like, you know, what is X about? What is Harry Potter about? And, you know, what is Shrek about? You begin to learn the movies and the books the kids watch, you know. So they all know Shrek, and they all know Harry Potter, and they all know, like, the Terminator movies, and they all know the Matrix movies. And so, you know, what is Terminator about? Terminator is about robots. Good. Things like that. So one student, I'm like, what is Star Wars about? And he looks and he thinks and he's like, it is about I am your father. And I'm like, yes, best answer of the year.
That sounds like an English t-shirt. It is about I am your father.
Oh, speaking of old topic, I don't know if the free hugs people are out in force again today.
Yeah, weather's nice.
Yeah, but you know, at one end of the strip, there's a leggy free hugs woman.
Yeah.
And
is this the same one or just another?
No, this is a different one.
Okay.
Yeah, she's not wearing any knee socks. This one.
Okay.
And like a little jean mini skirt, and but then on the other end, there's all these free hugs people. But then they have these, like, I love Dokdo and, you know, big, you know, signs, you know.
Dokdo is our land.
Exactly, you know, really anti-Japanese slogans.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just going, wait, isn't this kind of co-opting the spirit of the free hugs thing?
Yeah.
You know, that you're...
Free hugs if you agree with our ideology.
Exactly. They're sort of underlying this political...
Yeah.
This, and I'm like, I don't think that's quite the spirit of the free hugs and...
Yeah. The lesson is, there is no free hug.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I freaked out another woman in Starbucks.
You're good at that.
I know. Saturday, I was in Starbucks, and one I go to a lot, and there was sort of a new woman behind the counter, and I don't think she was so freaked out by me, but just more freaked out by, you know...
Foreigner. Well, English.
Yeah, well, just me trying to communicate to her in extremely bad Korean, and her trying to communicate to me in reasonably good English. And it's just like, why does he keep answering back in Korean I can't understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. And but she's so flustered by all of this, she misjudges the distance between... like her face in the cash register, and she sort of leans forward to kind of like ask me, you know, like do I want it for here or to go, and then bam, just smashes her face right into the cash register. Apayo, apayo. You
know, like. Oh my God, I had a bad Korean moment yesterday.
All right,
I went shopping.
Okay.
This is only like mildly related in that having to deal with a cashier who does not expect you to speak Korean and therefore tries to understand in English what you're saying and mispronounce Korean. The woman, two customers in front of me, she had to take out her change bag to get a roll of change.
Okay.
And she just takes out the bag and puts it on the unattended counter behind her.
Okay.
She got her roll of 100 won coins and sticks it in the register, gives her change, checks out the next customer. And when I came up, I said... don't forget about your change. And she looked at me and like I was nuts and said, huh? And I said, your money. Don't forget about your money.
Right, okay.
And she looks at me again and then just starts checking me out like crazy foreigner.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever. And then she gets like halfway through and I think something sort of clicked in her mind. And, oh, my money. Uh-huh. And she like put it away again.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah. That is, it is kind of annoying to me that I know that I'm probably not saying perfectly.
Right.
As it would be worded and with the right like end markers on the
right.
nouns and that kind of thing, but you know, like how wrong could it be? You
right.
money
right
forget no
don't
you know? And she should have had it in her mind anyway. She just opened that thing of change. But I thought also it's kind of cool that she just put it behind her where she had like no visual control of the bag and was completely unconcerned about it.
Okay.
Although in Korea, I wonder if maybe that would not have come out of her pay. Because in the States, they just took, you know, you lose a whole bag of change, and no problem. We'll just take it out of your next paycheck.
I'm sure it would come out of her pay, yeah. One of my friends, she worked City Hall, and they got a bunch of flyers printed up, brochures, and she was supposed to be the editor, and there was a really bad error. And, yeah, they docked her the cost of reprinting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, month's pay, basically.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did they get them reprinted? Or?
Yeah, they got
okay.
them reprinted.
Like, just a punishment.
Yeah, so. They got them reprinted.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty harsh.
Okay, that's our show. And Jennifer Cotisel, anything up at Cotisel this week?
Next Saturday, we'll have our monthly workshop
at
Sungmyung University. Look on the website, cotisol.org, cotesol.org, and you'll find a nifty little map there if you click through to the Seoul chapter.
Okay.
And the topic will be reading activities for the classroom. And I will be doing the icebreaker if you want to come see me in action. Workshop is free, and so are the snacks, which are plentiful.
So Cotisol, remember that.
Yeah.
Think of Seoul, like the name of our son, S-O-L, or a short form for S out of luck, and then Kotex, but without that X. Kotex panty liners, Kotex
or
tampons.
How do you Korea plus T-Sol, and Seoul, like Seoul Survivors. You go through a lot of mental gymnastics to get your mnemonics, don't you?
Yeah. Did I ever tell you my mnemonic for remembering how to spell the Sarah McLachlan's last name?
No.
It's a very hard last name to spell, Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah.
And so the way I remember it, I remember two pictures in my mind. A McDonald's in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Right. And then a local area network in Switzerland.
Oh, you are such an IT dork.
Yeah, I know. So McDonald's, you get the Mick and then the L.A. Mick, and then McLachlan, C.H. Switzerland, the code for Switzerland, C.H. and then the local area network, L.A.N.
So, oh my God.
Yeah.
That is the most convoluted mnemonic I may have ever heard. That's awesome.
It works, though. And
and how often do you have to spell her name, just out of curiosity?
I really loved
Never.
Sarah McLachlan for a long time. And I was like, you know, that's what I'd always be talking about. Anyway, so Sarah McLachlan.
But
Sarah.
You don't have to spell it when you say it.
No, like online or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I just would also just like spelling it wrong. And I'm like...
So when you're like doodling in your notebook and you're writing Carl McLachlan.
A little heart.
Mr. Sarah
Carl
McLachlan.
Carl plus Sarah McLachlan, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. All right. For a reminder... our website, www.gokorea.info. You can get our old shows from there.
In case you just can't get enough of us.
Yeah, so our iTunes only have about the last most recent shows, like five most recent shows or so. And if you want the older shows, they're on the website. There's also a way to sort of, there's a link on the website where you can also bring it into iTunes. So you'll have two things. You'll have Soul Survivors and then Soul Survivors Archive, which is all the old shows. But yeah, but Soul Survivors is the only one that's kind of really registered with iTunes. This other one's just sort of a RSS feed. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But technology is even a little bit behind me, ahead of me these days. I'm old. You know, one of my kids were like, they kept whistling and sort of humming, you know, do 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 do. And then I'm like looking at them, I'm like, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. Gotta move on. So, and they're looking at me now like I'm the strange one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you kids all singing Funky Town? And they're like, no, teacher, it's, you know, it's like, you know, Hanabing Jisho. Like, what? Well, you know, this new machine. I'm like, I guess it's some Korean song, you know. Ave Maria.
And I wonder why they keep getting sued for plagiarism.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, kids, that's like a song from the late 70s, like. It was called Funky Town. They're looking at me like
Funky Town.
They're just looking at me like, and they bet you're gonna claim baseball was invented in America too, and it's clearly a Korean invention. You know, something along those lines, right? You know, so I'm like, fine. So during the break, I load it onto my PDA, and I go into class, and I'm like, listen. And they're like, holy crap. He just made up that whole song during the 5-minute break. Like,
he's a genius.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no way is this a song from like 20 years before we were born.
Right.
This is a new song.
Yeah.
So teacher must have just mixed it all together himself. You know, just totally disbelieving.
Yeah. That iTunes GarageBand you've got on your computer at work. You're a whiz.
What?
Did we ever talk about, I know we're supposed to be closing, but did we ever talk about the pop song gate last summer?
Was it, what's her name? Lee?
Yeah, Ihori.
Right.
But it wasn't just her. It was like a whole, like that was sort of a domino effect. A couple of people got in trouble there.
Yeah.
They actually, the songwriters, with air quotes, were caught actually taking pop songs from the States, like the number one hits and whatever, and actually dissecting them.
Right. Okay.
So they could copy exactly the lyric structure and, you know, like, okay, at this part of the song, it does this.
Right.
And these words are repeated, and the word phrase is this many syllables,
right,
and it repeats this many times.
Right. Yeah.
And it has this kind of beat with this kind of sound over it, and like literally turning it into a science experiment and dissecting it down to the like the atoms of the song and copying it completely.
Yeah. Cool thing about that though is the Korean netizens were actually the ones that sort of smoked her out too. It just wasn't this like, you know, like she was one of us, present a, you know, an iron wall to the world. And
right.
Yeah, they were just like, she's just full of crap. which was kind of cool.
Didn't we just hear the song from Britney Spears?
Yeah. What was there? Was there's like this great webpage called the Yongpa, the Onion, the Korean version of the Onion. And usually, you know, people doing their own versions of the Onion just sucks enormously bad. But this is genuinely funny, this Yongpa. And the writing's a little weak, but the guy's really great with Photoshop, and just Photoshop's great things. And you're like, there was one, you know, like something about like, you know, some Korean DJ declared the blackest guy in Korea or something. Yeah, he won some award.
Oh my god.
Yeah, a lot of really evil fun. And so he did a parody that what's it name?
Ihori.
Yeah, Ihori. And then he had the picture of like you know, Einstein's paper on, you know, relativity, and kind of like just his name crossed out and her name written beneath or something like that. And you're like, she's getting to a new career.
Yeah.
Oh well. What about this? Oh, copying. You know, speaking about copying, my shoes. The kids were really excited about my shoes.
They are super cool.
Yeah, they thought I was wearing Converse All Stars.
Well, they do look like cons, only they're low tops.
Yeah, but they're actually two stars. They're not all stars.
That is awesome. Yeah,
they're much more modest. You know, it's not like we're not claiming all the stars. Yeah. My shoes are only claiming two of them.
Two stars.
Yeah, we're only shooting for two. So yeah.
And we're not named Converse. We're just cons.
Cons. Yeah. I don't know if there's any. And I got my knockoff Gucci socks too.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know.
I think the Ramyun socks are way better than the Gucci socks.
Yeah. But you notice that? I don't know how you dress, but...
You see how I dress.
Oh, okay, all right. But I find, like, it might be different, like, with a male teacher, like mm-hmm. a male, but, you know, the kids can't ever believe I'm as old as I am. And part of it is just the way I think I dress, because I dress much more like them than like an adult male, right? You know, to them...
Well, because they think adult males all wear suits every day.
Exactly, exactly. And that's something they have a very kind of hard time with that. Like, Dad would not wear Converse All-Stars or, you know...
I had a moment like that in class last week. We're reading Anne Frank.
Okay.
And Anne was commenting on how ratty her dad's ties were getting.
Okay.
So here they've been in hiding for like a year and a half.
All right.
And her dad's ties are getting ratty looking, which means he's wearing a tie every day in hiding.
Yeah.
And I pointed that out to my students, and they were like, uh-huh. Like, why wouldn't he wear a tie in the attic of some building?
Yeah. It's like the, you know, all the, like, the movies from the 50s, like, even, like, the action-adventure movies. The guy is going through the jungle, and he's wearing a suit and tie.
Right.
And you're like...
With the pith helmet.
You're like, they're very formally dressed here. A lot of Koreans, especially the adult males.
Yeah.
And another reason I think we're scum here.
Especially
us ESL teacher males is we don't dress with authority. You know.
Yes. I don't even have $100 pair of jeans, much less $100 pair of anything else's.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have any clothes with brand names on the outside. If the label is sewn on the outside, I don't buy it, even if it looked good.
Even if it's a knockoff and you bought it for $5 in Myeongdong?
Well, see, if it's a knockoff, they don't put the label on the outside. That's like the real, you know, look at me, I spent way too much money on this piece of crap shirt.
Okay. All right, so that's our show. Send us an email at gokorea@gmail.com. And gosh, I hope John's back next week.
Yeah, at least it was his own choice this week.
I swear he'll be back. But time's getting short for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.